You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. Bill is on the line after a big game against the Giants in the Meadowlands. Bill, congrats, man. You got a nice opportunity, and you really got going. 18 carries, 96 yards, and a touchdown. A productive game. How'd it feel good?
Appreciate that. Definitely felt good. Just to get a team win, and that was fun. We missed that kind of locker room after the game, so we just look forward to building on to it.
Did you guys turn up a little bit? What was the locker room like after the game?
Did we? That's the best. I feel like that's the best time when playing football. Like, I feel like we play football for moments like that, to turn up together after like a hard-fought win. So that was the best thing about it.
Bill, it was funny. So we're texting on the group chat as a show. We're always rooting for you during the game. And when you got it going early and then you hit that 16-yard touchdown, we're like, all right, Cousins going to talk to Bill again.
You're back in.
Cousin,
it's been a while.
We on good terms now, baby.
I mean, Cousin was just giving you the cold shoulder for about 2 months.
I don't blame him for it, though. So it's just like the competitive nature we got.
I love it. Take us through that play where it looks like a little counteraction, you know, a little misdirection going another, you know, in the opposite way. And all of a sudden, it looked like the Red Sea parted for you right there. Walk us through that play.
Okay, it was an outside zone play. And, I mean, we was really trying to stretch the defense. But, I mean, when we get moving, like, can you hear me fine?
Yeah, we got you, buddy.
Okay, but it was the outside long play originally, but like when my offensive line get movement like that and just like create a big hole like that, you got no choice but to take it and just let your talent take on from there on out. So, I mean, it was a good job by the guys up front
making that big hole for me, and I just had to do the rest to repair him.
If you guys have a question for Bill, you can hit us up at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. You can hit us up in the chat on the YouTube channel. You can call us at 800-636-1067. We'll try to squeeze in a couple listener calls and questions for Bill at 800-636-1067. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt on Grant and Danny. How much different was this week in terms of like the running mindset? What I mean by that is the Giants were dead last against the run. So all week long, we were saying on the show, they got to pound the football. And then you guys came out and you did it. I mean, you only threw it 19 times. I think there were only 10 completions. It opened some things up down the field. It was like 20 yards per completion from Marcus. But you guys really did run the football early, often, effectively. Was that preached all week by Cliff that it was going to be that kind of game?
Yeah, we wanna establish a run game so that it can open up a lot of more things for us. And like it was good to see everyone working together. I mean, my O line, they came out there and that was ready, and like we just executed well, and it was the type of game we wanted.
When you have a game like that where it just feels like every carry you're ripping off 5 or 6, you know, the 7 or 8 yards, when do you kind of start to feel that sort of rhythm as you're going? It feels like every play you're about to break one. When do you know in the course of the game? Yeah, go ahead.
You just get the feeling it at that point. Yeah. Like, it's like I can't do no wrong. Like, I'm feeling the cuts. I'm more decisive, and it just gets you in that groove. So it's always good when you're able to get the going early.
Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, Bill on Grant and Danny after a 96-yard performance and a touchdown. Did you guys kind of feel going in along the lines of what I was talking about, that maybe this was an area where you could thrive, like the O-line could win at the line of scrimmage and move them? Like, was that something you felt good about? And how quickly into the game did you figure out what was working and what you could stick with?
Yeah, that was like the whole week, it was the emphasis, like, we want to run the ball. Like, we gotta be physical up front and just move people, because that's what the game is won in the trenches. When you're able to run the ball, it opened up like so much for the offense. So like once we got that established, it was down here from there.
It also seems to me, Bill, it seems like when you get cooking a little bit and you can kind of see your confidence. You're like, I almost had that one, or that was close to breaking it. Like every run early on, it was like 6, 6, 14, 12. 4, 7. There were no stopped at the line of scrimmage. What's that feel like as you get into that rhythm as a back?
You just get in that groove. Like, man, let's go. Like, I mean, it's kind of hard to explain. You just gotta be back there. And it's like when you're making those cuts, you know they're the right cut. Like you're not thinking too much about it. You just out there playing your game. So I mean, I feel like once a running back gets into his groove, it's going to be kind of hard to stop.
What's been the reaction in the locker room to, you know, knowing that Jaden's not going to come back this year for you guys? I know you rode with Marcus all year long. I know that's kind of normal now for you guys, but what was the reaction when you guys found out?
I mean, it's like, come on, let's go. We got 3 more games left. Everybody knows how special Jaden is, but I mean, we just like, We got Marcus. Come on, he's our star quarterback. He's great. He's good. So, I mean, it was we just still preparing the same. I don't think it was like no reaction.
It's funny because everyone says these games aren't that important, to Danny's point, and there's 3 left. And for a rookie like you who's trying to earn everything in this league, what's that like? I mean, these are still car crashes you're getting into. You're out there, and if you take a playoff, it could be your last play for a while. Like, what's your mindset in these games? It's 4-10. You're not going to the playoffs, and people are like, "Oh, I don't know how much these matter." Like, take us inside the mindset of a player.
Oh, I mean, I got 3 games to play, and so I'm in the NFL. So, like, whenever I get a chance to step on that field, you never know. Like, you got to go out and show out. So, I mean, we're not looking at it like that. Nobody in the locker room. Like, we got 3 more chances to play the game we love, and we wanna just build momentum going into the next season. So that's what it's gonna do for us. Like, we just trying to build momentum and just go out there with our brothers. Like, we're not gonna quit on each other. So like Coach said, it's like a tournament right now. We just got 3 more games to go.
So take me back on Sunday, right, where you guys have the lead, have the football. Unfortunately, your colleague, Jeremy McNichols, tough fumble. The Giants have the ball. They got a chance to go tie. What's going through your mind in that moment? I imagine the sideline was a little bit puckered.
Let's go! Like we can't dwell on the last play that just happened. Like our defense just got to go out here and get us a stop, in which they did. And like shout out to those guys. And I mean, that's what the game is going to have some adversity to it. Like everything is not going to be perfect. So I mean, adversity happened. It's just like how we was able to respond and like just find a way to win the game, because wins are hard to come across in this league. So,
speaking of fumbles, Bill, I got to ask you about yours. You got whapped pretty good. Ball came out. What happened on that play?
Just got to be like locked in on all details. Like I know if it's like four players surrounding me, like I got to have like, that's when you definitely got to be extra careful with carrying the football. But I mean, that's all it is. Like, never had any fumbling issues in college or whatnot. So I'm not that type of back. So I just got to be extra cautious. Like, it's a different league. Like, guys are like very elite, and I just got to tighten up on my on the fundamentals and details, and just have extra security when there's four guys around you. So
Was Josh Connerly recovered that? He had two recoveries.
Yeah, he had two.
He came flying in. Thank you so much, bro.
I was going to say, I don't know how it works as a rookie. Do you have to pay him, a nice dinner or take him out? Like, what do you do?
I mean, they haven't hit me with the meal yet, but, I mean, I wouldn't mind. So those guys work a lot, and they do a lot of dirty work that don't get a lot of recognition, but, I mean – yeah, I definitely had to thank him after that phone, bro. I appreciate you, bro.
Most of your carries on Sundays, we were talking about, Ja'Cory, you're patient, you're sliding around, you're darting through, you're corkscrewing in certain moments to avoid some of the big shots. I think it was fourth quarter, as you guys are putting the game away, right? So you rip off that 11-yarder, they call timeout. I think it was the next play after that, one of the rare times it feels like, you took a pretty legit shot. I think I've got that play right. It was that one, and then you came out of the game.
You talk about, I think it was like some type of dual run.
Yeah,
and,
right in the middle, and it was a couple big humans.
I end up trying to jump cut and end up like not seeing the safety. He got a pretty good shot on me.
Yeah, so A, ow, that probably hurt a lot. B, how you feeling after that? And you know, are you saying anything to him after that moment like that, where it's like, okay, that was a good one, you got me, or can't hurt me? What's your thought there?
I mean, I'm like, all right, good play. Like, they got all the lead out here. I ain't say nothing to him, but I was like, okay. Like, that's a great tackle. Like, it's rare for me, like, to let a guy just come get a clean hit on me, like, without me, like, at least, like, making a move. But, I mean, I feel like that was a pretty good play by the safety. He came down here, made a good football play.
All right, Bill, we got a couple listener questions for you. You can hit us up 800-636-1067. We'll get to the calls in a second. Jamal says, seems like you're in good spirits after the win, Bill. How do you keep the positive energy up? You're such a positive guy during such a down season. What do you say to that?
I would say keep winning. Like, that'll create a lot of energy. Like, no one likes to lose. So, I mean, we just keep rolling, and, like, that'll just – create energy. So
let's go to Alan, who's in Richmond, joining us on Grant and Danny. Alan, say hello to Bill. How are you?
Bill, hey guys, how's it going?
Hey man,
what up?
Hey, I got a question for your buddy Cousin. All right, what position does he play?
Ooh, Cousin the dog, what position?
Cousin, I would say he's more like a OC head coach type of dog.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's retired from the game. Yeah.
Cousin's wearing a Motorola headset on the sideline.
Cousin, he's one of those.
He's barking orders, though. He's still barking orders.
That's a good bet.
Exactly.
Is Cousin a cover-his-mouth-with-the-play-sheet kind of guy, or does he not even care?
It just depends.
Yeah.
It depends. He may cover it, but Yeah, it just depends.
What kind of offense do you think Cousin runs? Does he get up under center and run a West Coast?
Under center,
or do you think
and hand the ball off to his dad. That's what kind of fake caller he is.
Wishbone, old school, yeah.
Power eye with Ben Sinnott at fullback, 82 in front of you. That's what he wants?
Let's go.
Yeah, for sure. He want to run the football.
Let's go to Perry and Olney on Grant and Danny.
Cousin wants to run the ball.
Cousin's calling run plays. What's up, Perry? How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks for putting me on. Thanks for your great show, as always. Now, I want to ask Bill two questions. The first one is pretty simple. What does he want to be called? Because you guys keep dancing around Bill and Jacory and Bill and Jacory. You can't make up your mind.
We mix it up a little bit.
We mix and match.
So what does he want?
That's a good question. Bill, do you prefer Jacory? Do you prefer Bill? Do you want JCM? What do you want to be? Cousin's dad? How do you want us to call you?
I prefer Bill.
Bill it is?
Yeah, I like Bill. Right.
Well, thank you. I like Bill, too. Bill, you're doing a great job. I have another question. The other one is regarding running backs when the quarterback changes. Is there anything different when Jaden Daniels is at center versus Marcus as far as running backs go?
No, not really. It's really not a difference.
Okay. What about the read option mesh point stuff? It seems like sometimes Marcus will even just keep it in there and ride it a little bit longer. He's so good. Like, and I'm not saying Jaden isn't. I think he's great at it too. But is there anything like that where you've got to know, okay, this week it's Marcus or he might do it this way? Anything like that?
No, not really. I just know Marcus, sometimes he likes to pull it. So that's the only difference.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, 40-plus yards again this week. He's had success doing that. All right, next up for you. So you got a weird schedule coming up here, Bill. You've got a Saturday game with the Eagles, but it's standalone, so the whole country's watching at 5 o'clock. I got to imagine that's awesome for you because you got so much family not in the area that they're watching. And then Christmas Day, you're playing the Cowboys. What do you make of this schedule the next couple of weeks here?
Definitely excited for it. Know it's going to be a grind. And, that's why I signed up, I live for moments like this where people at home or at the bar with their family and they can just cut it on and just see us out there just putting on a show. So I dream of stuff like this and I'm definitely ready for the challenge. I know it's gonna be tough, but I'm ready for the challenge.
What does Bill's Christmas wish list look like? Have you written your letter to Santa yet?
No, not yet. I may ask for an Apple Watch for Christmas.
Ooh, Apple Watch.
Nothing crazy.
I like that.
I'm addicted to mine. I can't imagine being without it again.
How long have you done the Apple Watch?
It's now about 3 years, but I remember there was so many years, Bill, where I didn't have one. I now can't imagine not having it at all times.
Yeah, I'll maybe just get an Apple Watch or something.
What are you going to get, Cousin?
You know what's crazy? I sent Cousin Christmas list out to a couple of the staff at Washington. I think they got him a good Christmas list, so I just have to see what he has. I think he has clothes and stuff like that.
Clothes.
You sent his list out to who?
I sent the list out to someone on the staff.
Oh, wow. Really? So you sent his Christmas list out. So he's going to have a banner Christmas.
He's going to have a haul.
He's going to get a lot of presents. He better hope that he was good this year.
It was kind of like a joking thing. And then I think they ended up getting him something for real. So I'll see.
That's great. All right. Well, Bill, it's always good catching up. It was awesome watching you run all over the Giants. Stay hot, man. Let's go shock the Eagles here.
I appreciate that.
All right, be good. There's Bill with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Cousin is Bill Callahan. Who knew? He just wants to line it up. He wants to go heavy personnel.
Hat on a hat.
Football Cowboy Cousin. He wants an extra tackle, 3 OTs, and we're going right downhill at you every play.
How about it? He wants to run the dang ball.
Give it to his dad. I love that. G&D on The Fan. Bill's been such a good sport, and he's just a good kid. You know, he's very, very
so genuine.
Just tell talking to him this is the nicest guy ever.
Yeah. So I've got a buddy who has never been able to hear it. Just he hears the beginning of the show, later in the show, has never been able to actually tune in and catch it live. It was going back in the podcast and stuff. But he's like, what's it like talking to him? And I said, I know this sounds so cheesy and hokey. He has such a good spirit. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the only way I can think of it. It's just that he's such a kind, genuine, nice person, like, all the time. At first, you're kind of like, is he messing with me? He's not, just a genuinely good dude.
I got to get your buddy the Odyssey app. It's not that hard to find that chapter.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I mean, his buddy doesn't really know how to find podcasts.
He's in his mid-40s, and it's a little too much for him, to be honest with you.
You just heard Toby's breaking news on Jaden Daniels. This is via Ian Rappaport. So I guess right before Dan Quinn's press conference coming up here in a couple minutes, the team leaked to the national media that Jaden Daniels is being shut down by the club. The Commanders have decided to call it a season for Daniels. He was not cleared after being reevaluated today for practice. So they feel like with a short week in a game Saturday against the Eagles, maybe he wouldn't have been ready for that game, or you'd get him back just in time to get back on the field. Then they play Wednesday next week, the Christmas Day game against the Cowboys, which further complicates things. So at 4-10, because it'd be short practice weeks, because you're not sure when he's going to be cleared, they have made the decision to shut Jaden Daniels down. We will not see him again in the 2025 football season.
So it's Thursday is the Christmas Day game, but the point still stands. Yeah, it's short week this week, shorter by a day, and then a semi-short week going into the following one. So, again, this is just, I don't know. I don't quite know what they're thinking here, because if it's under the guise of, well, he's not cleared today, that means you're sure he's not going to be cleared Wednesday or Thursday or Friday or anytime next week. Or is this a, we're shutting him down because we're shutting him down? Either way, the result kind of ends in this one spot, right, where they're going, we are just on, it seems, again, I'm reading the tea leaves like everybody else, and we'll see what Dan Quinn says this afternoon. But it's the, we don't think we can get this right. We don't think that he's going to be right. We don't feel comfortable. He's not comfortable. we're shutting it down. I wonder if it's more shut down or if it's legitimately, we just can't see a path to him being healthy enough to do it in time.
Well, I mean, Rap Sheet called it a shutdown.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's his own terminology. I don't know what the difference is, though. You got 3 weeks left, and he's not medically unable to get back in 3 weeks. You don't know that right now. So this is a shutdown, right? I mean, you can't tell me right now definitively there's no way he could play in 3 weeks from now against the Philadelphia Eagles. So if you're ruling him out for the final three games, that's a shutdown. This is very similar. I know people don't like this. Robert Griffin in 2013, coming off of the amazing 2012 season, all in for week one,
yep.
The bad 2013 follow-up year, with three games to go, they shut him down. And at the time, Mike Shanahan said something along the lines of, you know, we need to protect him and he's taking too many hits or whatever. He just wasn't playing at a high level. They didn't like where it was trending. They shut him down. This is not the same as that, obviously. But Jaden Daniels is not cleared for this week. It's a short week next week, which means he'd come back with very little practice time. So they're shutting him down. Now, there are a lot of people in the fan base that wanted this. So we could hear from you next, 800-636-1067. I'd love to hear the reaction to this news that the Commanders are shutting Jaden Daniels down. Dan Quinn's going to talk in just a minute, so we'll listen as soon as he gets to the podium to what he has to say about this. But they will not be risking any further injury. So the good news here, because there's a lot of things about it that I find to be difficult on Daniels as it pertains to starting fast next season. You know, I think he needs the reps and to play and all that stuff. But the really good news is he should be full go, OTAs, mini camp, start of the regular season. Now, how long that lasts, I don't know. Everyone acts like if he's just healthy at the start of next year, all your problems
go away. Yeah, it's not automatic.
I don't happen to believe that that's true. I think look at Baker Mayfield and Justin Herbert and Kirk Cousins and most of the quarterbacks in the league, Jordan Love, they're all playing through injuries right now. They're all playing through something. So sometime early next year, he'll end up having to play through something. And you can't protect him every time that happens. But in this case, in a lost season at 4-10 with three games left, it's not a terrible idea. You know, we were just talking to Jay Gruden about it. He said he would totally understand it. That's where I'm at. What would I do personally? I would start him and play him. I think he needs to play. Do I have any issue with the team shutting him down? I do not. I don't think it's the right call. I think it's the wrong call. But I think it's the wrong call at like a, you know, 55 play him, 45 don't.
Uh-huh.
It's not like a 90-10 thing.
Yeah, I think we come from a similar spot, just a different conclusion. I think most people would acknowledge it's important for him to play football. Like, that's anybody. It's even Terry McLaurin needed to play football. He's got a ton of deposits in the bank. He's been really, really good. He needed the time on the grass. His year was dramatically affected because he didn't do the normal course of events over the course of the summertime and into training camp and into the preseason, et cetera. He had a terrible season when they needed him because he wasn't ready to play football, right? I think everybody understands that you benefit from playing. So that's why it's so frustrating when you get this vet day off, that vet day off. Where guys aren't practicing, et cetera.
Let me jump in real quick because Dan Quinn's coming to the podium. I want to catch this right as it starts. This is DQ with Reporters Live.
And the coaches included, man. Take a minute and enjoy the win. And there's nothing quite like a locker room after that. It had been a while. But today, that's when you get back to it. And that's why we have our truth day, what we can do better and what we need to do better. And there's a lot. That we need to do better. There was flashes, but that consistency continues to haunt us. There were some big plays. The complimentary football at the end of the half was probably my favorite part of the game. Punt return, stop, interception, like those were ones that I thought were really cool spots. But penalties and turnover margin, other things, we definitely got to improve. And that's a big part of finishing. And, you know, with the division at hand of the games that we're having in the next three, that's a big deal for us. And we're really pumped to go after it and again this week. Then the last thing I'd hit you on will be regarding Jaden, and we're going to sit him for the final three games. And I know your first question likely is, well, DQ, what went into that? And the answer is it was a lot, in part medical and part team. As of today, he's still wasn't all the way cleared to play. So like last week, wouldn't have all the results until the end of the week, and then a short week next week with the Christmas game. So we believe this decision allows him to take advantage of the next few weeks in a different play. He wants to practice and he will practice. He also wants to support Marcus in a way that Marcus has demonstrated and helped him. And so, like, I thought that was significant. We all know the best way to grow is during the games, but with that, you know, not being the best way for us, there's plenty of ways for him to learn, you know, over the next 3 weeks. And, you know, he's going to learn from this vantage point, too. So I just wanted to give you all the info that I had, and then we can get started recapping the game or however you guys want to proceed. So let's get it rocking.
John Kahn?
How disappointing, Dan, is it that it's come to this, given, like, what you guys have all talked about, the importance of those game snaps?
Yeah, I get it, John. And, like, that was the plan for sure with five games, you know. And, in football and life, you adjust. And this is the best plan for him and for the team right now. And so that's what, you know, we're always going to look into it and have lots of discussions about it. But we decided this was the best way for us over the next three games, knowing that he wasn't fully cleared to get back just yet.
And then if you can sum up, like, his season, and also, like, how much is going, does it weigh in there that he had left each of the last three games he played with some sort of injury? Does that factor into it, and, you know, all that?
Yeah, we discussed all that, but that didn't factor it into it, John. One didn't relate to the other, and so it was disappointing. And, like, hey, let's be honest, it's been hard, you know, in a lot of ways. So we're just trying to make the best decisions we can, but it wasn't, you know, a factor from previous. It was just a matter of, hey, not clear to do it, and we're going to make the best decisions for the team and for him. That's a number one.
Nikki?
Dan, when did Jaden get informed of this? When did you guys tell him the decision?
Just this afternoon.
Okay.
So I had a chance to visit with him. Adam did as well. And so it was important. We want to be communicative with all the guys, and you know, especially like their spot, and Marcus as well. And Marcus will do a great job. And I thought for him also being able to prepare and get all the reps in and out, that can be a difficult process to go through as well. So we wanted to give him the best runway to go do his thing as well.
And I know earlier in the season you had said that the reps were important. Was that a matter of circumstance, like in Madrid when there were, what, six games left versus three? Or was it, you know, just looking at the totality of everything that has happened?
Yeah, and it wasn't even going to be three, you know. So thinking it wasn't going to be cleared up for this game and then a short week to go. So then we're like, now we're coming back into less than that. So you're right, Nikki, all of that went into the process to go do it.
Tom?
Hey, Dan. To what extent, if any extent, was Josh involved in this decision?
Yeah. Adam and I, obviously, like, you know, keep him in the loop on all the things that are going through it. So it's good. We continue to have dialogue with him. We meet on a regular basis before the games, Fridays, Mondays. So we have a constant dialogue, Tom. So that's helpful that it's not something that we have to go to on a big moment or anything. We just try to stay in a constant level of communication, and that has been really solid for us.
So just to clarify, this was a decision that you guys made and then notified him of, or am I correct on that?
Yeah, I guess that would be correct in the way that you'd say it. We talked and have discussions. I don't know if we notified him, but maybe a discussion's a better way to phrase that.
David Aldridge?
We certainly don't have that kind of juice to notify the owner. Yeah, that's. I better clarify that.
Dan, I, knowing that you still have three games left to play in the season, this season has been so odd with everything that's gone down with the injuries and everything. But do you have a sense of, here's going forward, how we can maximize both Jaden's potential and his availability? Like, like you have more information now than you did a year ago.
Yes.
And what's different now going forward, I guess I would say.
Yeah, and going in, some of that is going to be by design him too, and that's why we were hopeful for the reps DA, and we thought, okay, here's a shot to go find those specific things for him, and it's mostly on dropbacks, honestly, DA, to say, when do I remain a passer, when do I eyes downfield, and so not having to do those in the game reps isn't ideal, but we're going to try to find the best way possible. And I'm hopeful that in a year from now, when you say, what'd you learn, you know, when you're talking to Jaden, and maybe this vantage point, even over a couple of weeks, when he's, you know, disappointed he's not playing and wanting to be, that we gain some experience and maybe a vision that you wouldn't have normally had, D.A., and that's what I'm hopeful that will get done. And then as it gets into the off season and the training, like obviously that's going to be a big part of what we're doing, knowing how important it is. And so he knows that. He's not happy that, you know, he's going to be out, but that's where we're at, you know, as we're going through it right now. But there's a lot to still learn, and we're going to push that hard.
It seems like when you think about last year, at least a lot of people seem to think it was just – a bunch of incredible plays that he made, but there was a lot of complimentary football going on last season that allowed him to make those plays. And I just wonder, like, how important going forward is that to improve the defense to the point where they're creating more turnovers and getting shorter fields for him and more opportunities for him to make plays on shorter, you know, quicker drives and easier drives and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're right. And you may have heard me say it. I remember from last season, I said the best part of our team is the team. It's covering a kick, it's field position, it's creating a takeaway, it's converting a fourth down. And so having the complimentary football to do that, that's a big deal. And when you can nail those, you know, we have more continuity, certainly offensively. We perform better on the fourths. But you're right, man. You create a short field, you get one to go. And so that's why I felt yesterday strongly about the half. It was a fantastic return by Jalen, and then a stop and a pick, and it's like, that's the switch, man. You've seen it, we all have, and that's that momentum change that just takes place in these smallest moments. And I felt that yesterday. I felt that energy. We did enough to let them back in when you have to score lead, but that's what I'm referring to, and that's what you're referring to as well. And so that's capturing the complimentary way that you were describing, and I couldn't agree more.
Tashawn.
DQ, as part of this, you know, obviously, you know, barring injury, Marcus will start, you know, the rest of the season. I know, obviously, he's set to be a free agent, you know, going into the offseason. How important are these last few games for him, you know, kind of as he's
you're listening,
you know,
to Dan Quinn's press conference today out in Ashburn on Grant and Danny. So there's the breaking news. Jaden Daniels being shut down for the final three games of the season. Dan Quinn spent weeks talking about the importance of game reps, the importance of getting Daniels back on the field. Last week, something really shifted in how he answered questions, and now today, they are shutting Daniels down.
We're always going to make the best decisions for, you know, the team and the player.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
That doesn't mean we, you know, can't take advantage of this time. And like I said, I hope when you talk to him in a, you know, a year from now, I say, man, that gave me a different vantage point, and I want him to gain something from this time. And that's what we hope to accomplish from that.
The voice of Dan Quinn, head coach of the Commanders. Welcome back to GND. What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori & Murad, can help you to draft a last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. The news trickled out about 90 minutes ago. In fact, it was leaked originally to the national media, as is generally the case. Ian Rappaport broke the news about 3 minutes before a Dan Quinn press conference. It's either him or Schefter, one or the other.
I guess, do they take turns? Is it like rock, paper, scissors before who gets to break it?
The timing's always fascinating, yeah. Too. It's like as Dan Quinn's walking to the podium, they somehow unearth these bombshells. But it was Rap Sheet who had it minutes before the presser began. And then Dan Quinn, addressing the local media, said this.
Then the last thing I hit you on will be regarding Jaden, and we're going to sit him for the final three games. And I know your first question likely is, well, DQ, what went into that? And the answer is it was a lot, and part medical and part team. As of today, he still wasn't all the way cleared to play. So like last week, wouldn't have all the results until the end of the week, and then a short week next week with the Christmas game. So we believe this decision allows him to take advantage of the next few weeks in a different play. He wants to practice, and he will practice. He also wants to support Marcus in a way that Marcus has demonstrated and helped him. And so, like, I thought that was significant. We all know the best way to grow is during the games, but with that, you know, not being the best way for us, there's plenty of ways for him to learn, you know, over the next 3 weeks. And, you know, he's going to learn from this vantage point, too. So I just wanted to give you all the info that I had, and then
interesting that Dan Quinn said we all know the best way to grow is during games, and he had him throw zero passes this preseason. I sincerely hope their training camp looks a lot different this summer.
It's gonna have to, right?
And I really hope that their preseason plan looks a lot different. Now I have no confidence that'll be the case, because the evidence all the way through the season, all the way up until this minute, is that whenever they reach a crossroads, they take the path of less
practice
challenge. No, the, you know, they basically,
yeah, I know.
I don't want to keep using the words babied, because it sounds bad for Jaden, who's like a gamer and a grinder and tough as nails, and it's just not fair to him. But whenever they get a chance to put him in bubble wrap, they basically have and will. And there's a lot of times where I think that makes a lot of sense. But in the preseason, you had a chance to get him ready for the season, and you chose not to. Right now, you have a chance to get him ready to get better going into his third year, and you're choosing not to. They do it time and time and time again. But I hope the epiphany has come, and come this offseason when he's got a clean sheet of health, they operate a little differently in that regard.
Yeah, I hope the Ravens or whomever they schedule it with doesn't last-minute cancel the joint practice and scrimmage. I think that was a valuable thing that got lost before the season. I'm not blaming that on their lack of success overall, but it probably didn't help that they thought they're going to have some work there that never materialized. So screw them for that, their last minute. So I hope that plan gets better next year as well. But yeah, I mean, you're going to have a paradigm shift all around the board. For the way they did it this year, that's everything. What time you ate breakfast, what time you stretched, what time you lifted, what time you watched film. None of it should be sacred. The way you do things is not good enough anymore. Right, I've worked at a number of places, had previous jobs before got a chance to do this one. And whenever there was a regime change, or a new boss or whoever would come in, the ones that were effective rejected the idea that just because that's the way you do it doesn't mean that's how we're always going to do it. I don't care about that's the way you do it. because I'm here because not everything went great, right? And that's kind of what needs to happen right now is a total overhaul and reevaluation. So that should include the way that they practice and prepare.
Do you think Dan Quinn made this call or did it come from above him? We're going to get to the phones on this in a moment at 800-636-1067. So it goes without saying that Harris was involved in the discussion. In fact, Toby, if you can find that answer, because it was actually a really weird exchange, I thought. It was Tom Shad who asked Quinn, his question was, how involved was Josh Harris?
Uh-huh.
And DQ basically said, yeah, we talked to him about everything. We talked to him all the time. And Shad, to his credit, great follow-up. I was like, so you guys just informed him you were doing this then? He's like, no. We didn't want to inform him about anything. We don't have that kind of juice. We had a discussion with him. And it makes you wonder, like, well, what does that mean? Is a discussion means he's saying things, you're saying things. Whereas Tom's point was, you guys are the football guys. He's just the owner who counts the money. This should be a, hey, here's what we're doing with the quarterback thing. But as I always say with owners, people take issue with this because we live in D.C. where Dan Snyder ran roughshod over this thing for years. When it comes to GMs, head coaches, and quarterbacks, different than other positions, owners are heavily involved. But here's my answer to who made the call here. All three are talking. All three are in the mix. I get it. I think this was an AP decision. I think this was a Peters call where he and Dan Quinn talk constantly all the time. And maybe on Daniels and whether he's going to play or not, over and over again, you're doing a lot of listening. You're giving a little feedback. And I think after you see what you saw against the Vikings where he comes out again, and oh, by the way, you get eliminated. That's the big difference. First time all season, you're now eliminated. I think you go to the coach and you go, and this is your job as the GM.
Yeah.
Protect next year and the year after. And you go, all right, he's done for the year. Prepare for Marcus the rest of the season. I think this was Peter's call.
Yeah, so it's boring, but I agree with you. It's I don't think this is Dan Quinn at all. I think when you hire Dan Quinn to show up, Dan Quinn shows up. And he is a cliche. He's anybody, anytime, anywhere, street fight, bare knuckles, let's go, we'll fight you, tooth and nail. That's who he is. And that rhetoric is what he's always been. And when he doesn't really work well if it's that anybody, anytime, anywhere, except for Wednesdays. Actually, we can't do next Saturday. Are you free a month from tomorrow? Like, that's not who he is. So if you let him be who he is, Daniels is playing the instant he gets cleared. So is everybody else. And it doesn't matter if the game matters to him or whatever. He's doing the rhetoric now where he wants you. Let's go 5-1 in the division. Like, that's that would be neat, I guess. But that's the accomplishment they're going for after the season has been lost. And he's trying to do everything he possibly can, as he should, by the way, as the head coach, to get the best out of his players. This is an opposite of that. This is not something that would be in his DNA. Someone had to come tell him, hey, I'm above your pay grade here. We're not doing this exercise anymore. I don't know what the trigger moment was. I think being eliminated has a lot to do with it. Whether it was the, okay, we think we're all in the clear and he's writhing on the ground again in Minneapolis, has to go to the blue tent. I don't know if that was the moment. I don't know what it was exactly. But something happened from post-game presser. Yeah, he could have gone back in. We just were a little bit cautious to, yeah, we're shutting him down and now we're open conversation to what's going to happen the rest of the year. It feels to me like it was Peters.
Here was the question I was talking about in the exchange. This is Tom Shad, Washington Post, Dan Quinn, on Josh Harris's involvement.
Hey, Dan. To what extent, if any extent, was Josh involved in this decision?
Yeah, Adam and I obviously, like, you know, keep him in the loop on all the things that are going through it. So it's good. We continue to have dialogue with him. We meet on a regular basis before the games, Fridays, Mondays. So we have a constant dialogue, Tom. So that's helpful. That it's not something that we have to go to on a big moment or anything. We just try to stay in a constant level of communication, and that has been really solid for us.
So just to clarify, this was a decision that you guys made and then notified him of, or am I correct on that?
Yeah, I guess that would be correct in the way that you'd say it. We talked and have discussions. I don't know if we notified him, but maybe a discussion is a better way to phrase that.
He took issue with the word notified. And after that, he would even say, like, we don't have the juice, just so we're all on the same page, to be notifying the owner of anything. I think he was trying to make a funny zing and a good line out of it. But you understand his point. For some reason, he was, like, nervous.
Just make sure. I want to be clear. I didn't tell the owner anything other than hello.
He doesn't want Josh Harris to find out that Dan Quinn said he told you. But
wait a minute. Quinn said what? Get his ass up here.
The reason for the question is pretty obvious. the perception is you should be telling the owner whether the quarterback's going to play again this season or not. He's going, well, we're not going to tell him that. We're going to discuss that with him. Let's go to the phones. Eli's in D.C. Eli, do you think this was a Dan Quinn decision?
Hey, fellas, thanks for taking my call. I do think this was a Dan Quinn decision. And if this was an ownership decision, for me, that would be a strike. You know, that would represent that we aren't on the same page and I have to now exercise my, you know, leadership duties to be able to say, no, this isn't happening. And I don't know if that's good for business or good for the future of what we're trying to do. So I hope Dan Quinn, you know, just said, like, it's just not looking good for what we're trying to do. It's almost like, you know, he's a, for me, we, what Jaden Daniels is, and a lot of people keep saying that, well, he has to play, he hasn't played. No, he never played a snap in the NFL, and they went 12-5. And yeah, there was some Hail Marys and some things, but he was laser sharp. And I believe there is an off-season plan that can allow him to return to that. And he never saw some of these guys when he came into the NFL. Yeah, teams adjust, but there is a plan and there is a way. So they just have to figure out how to get that guy back to that degree of confidence. It's almost like when you walk into a class, you want to sit next to five. Like, you know he's got the answers to the test. And you could feel that through the screen, and I didn't feel that. And until that returns, what are we talking about to a certain degree? He hasn't had what he needed, and I think at this point it almost feels like he was getting better reps at LSU than he was able to get during this year. Now, he has to have – and it's also style of ball, everybody. The style of football that he plays coupled with some other things, it just doesn't look good for what you're asking him to do. So I think it was a good plan.
What do you mean by that? What do you mean asking him to do?
What we're asking him to do at the quarterback position, how he plays, their style of football, naturally he's going to move around. He's like Superman.
And right, but the offense they're running is about as LSU prospect coming out friendly as it gets. Like the, you know, unfairly, you had Camp Taylor Britt, remember last year, call it the college offense. Yep. It is a very collegiate offense. Now that's taken as a pejorative. I don't think it should be. Super effective. They're just outside of the top 10 in yards per play this year. They were elite last year. There's tons of teams that live in the shotgun. But for me, they should have done a lot more this year than they have to make his life easier and help him out with some layup throws in the middle of the field. But it would have made him uncomfortable initially. It would have, like the Bears and Ben Johnson are doing with Caleb Williams, it would have asked for him to get comfortable being uncomfortable. I think what Cliff has done, and maybe the reason you hire Cliff, honestly, you probably know you're going and getting Jaden Daniels. Remember, they go and get Marcus Mariota before all that.
Yep.
I think it all was a tell that this is what they wanted to run, but this is a lot like what he did at LSU. It's not a ton of in-breaking stuff in the middle of the field. It is a lot of throws outside the numbers. It is a lot of shotgun with the occasional pistol, some quarterback run stuff, not a lot of it. But I don't know. I guess I would disagree with the caller that like the style has put him in harm's way. What I would say, though, is I want more of an NFL traditional offense next year. This can be what they major in. It should be, probably.
Uh-huh.
But they need to minor more in under center, West Coast, Shanahan-esque principles to help him. They're asking him to do the hardest thing that you could possibly do, which is the straight drop back game. It's just not fair to a young quarterback to that's how you've got to live all the time.
Yeah, even the guy that's going to be the MVP, in all likelihood, Matt Stafford. Look how many times there's some kind of run action, some kind of misdirection, some kind of bootleg, some kind of, you know, hey, this is muddy here, but the real look is somewhere else, the eye candy, et cetera, that you don't see on a play-in, play-out basis here in Washington. But maybe the only thing I'd sort of ask rhetorically is, there was a time last year during the magical run where he was Superman. I'm sitting there going, hey, this is fun. This is awesome. I'm not complaining. I'm only raising my hand very, very gently after everyone's left the class going, oh, Professor, is this sustainable? This is probably not fair to ask of somebody to do this all the time for a long time, especially a rookie. You go to the NFC title game, no one wants to hear any questions. That's fine. But maybe some of that catches up, right, where you maybe need some more counterpunches in there. And again, I think one of them could be what you're talking about, right, is a way to make things a little bit easier at times in this offense.
800-636-1067 is the number Scott called. Listening on the Odyssey app in Alabama, you can listen all over the DMV on 106.7 in Richmond on AM 910, FM 105.1, and coast to coast via Odyssey like Scott. What's up, dude? How are you?
Hey, Grant and Danny. Great to talk to you guys.
You too, buddy.
You as well.
Born out in the Shenandoah Valley, so I've been invested in the Redskins my whole damn life. Pretty disappointed with the year. But the reason I called in is an NFL question. I hear all the time about game balls and kicking balls. So what the heck is the difference? And getting kind of tired of seeing 55-yard plus field goals every game.
Well, you don't see them from Washington very often. I can tell you that. The rules changed this year. I mean, this is way off topic from what we're talking about.
We've got a Jaden Daniels convo going. He's like, I got to do this kicking ball question right now. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, but this year you're allowed to actually treat the kicking balls for an extended period of time. Before, like, it used to be they take them out of the bag right at the start of the game. They walk them out there and you kick them. But what they call K-balls, the kicking footballs in the NFL, are specialized. They're harder. They're newer balls. They're prepped differently than regular scrimmage footballs. They allow for better compression and distance off the foot, while regular balls are softer for better grip and catching by quarterbacks and receivers. But this year, they've changed the rules a little bit so that you can wear in the K-balls so that they actually play a little bit more friendly to kickers, which is why the field goals, when you're not a Commanders kicker, are able to be made.
30 teams or so have access to it.
From longer distances. They turned down another, like, 54-yarder yesterday, I think it was.
The Giants don't have access to it, and Washington doesn't have access to it.
But nobody told their interim head coach, Mike Kafka. I mean, he still basically acts as though he is coaching a team with a good kicker. He thinks Young Wei Koo is Atlanta's kicker from 5 years ago. He doesn't know all the stuff that's happened
since.
Doesn't
seem to be.
Let's go to Ian in Vienna on the Fan. What's up, Ian?
Off topic, Grant, one of your greatest predictions would have been, and is, and you should take credit for it, is Drake May over Jaden Daniels and Ben Johnson over Dan Quinn. So I want to give you credit where credit is due.
Those You're trying would to get me in better. Trouble. Those days are behind us, okay? That is
He's smiling and nodding right now. No, you can't see him.
That's not true. They drafted a quality quarterback. They got their franchise QB. Hopefully he stays healthy. Dan Quinn had a good first season. What else you got on?
Yeah. No. So, listen, when I'm right, I want to take credit. When you're right, I'll give you credit. So, to answer the question, number one, I don't think this came from Dan Quinn. I think this came from Adam Peters. And this notion that fans have that we should never the ownership is a one-way street where we tell the owner how it is and we're the football people, that's just not realistic in today's NFL. Owners just have a greater stake in everything. We've seen that all across the league. It is what it is. Obviously, there's PTSD from the Snyder era, but I think Harris Peters made this decision over Quinn. But the bigger concern is, and I'm a fire everybody guy, I would fire Quinn, Peters, I would fire...
I mean,
yeah, I would.
So what about the get-out-of-jail-free card from the NFC Championship game?
Did you turn it in already?
Yeah, and we talked about this last year. There was a lot of flukish things that happened. Again, I say this on multiple radio stations. If your whole argument for why you have bad ratings this year is look at last year, that doesn't work with your boss. You have to update your resume every year. You can't point to last year and say, look at what we did. Bill Belichick won 6 Super Bowls and still got fired. So
he totally did. The only thing I'll say, and appreciate the phone call, thank you. The only problem with that is there is no precedent, really, for it being that good 1 year and then the next year being fired. Now, it's also very rare you go 12-5 to 4-13. And it is absolutely reasonable to have the conversation should Dan Quinn be on a warming seat? Or would it be crazy if they fired him? Like, I think those are reasonable enough convos. But while he's on team fire everybody, I'm on team you can't fire a guy who's been around for 2 years, whose 2 seasons are NFC title game and disaster. Like, to me, they cancel each other out. And we see what's what next year. And I mean that for Quinn, and I mean that for Peters, and I mean that for Daniels. Like, this, I feel like we say this a lot. This is going to be one of the biggest years in team history. But the first four
you
games
really
next
do
year,
have a crossroads moment here.
I mean, you had one of the greatest years by a regime ever. You had one of the worst years that anybody's had here at any point.
Yeah.
If they start 3-0 next year, back on. Hey, we back, you know, we're back up. Let everybody know, right? Stringer Bell style. But if they go 1-2, 1-3, 1-4, I mean, now you're talking about, I would be in the bringing it up. Is it time to make a change? Is this guy now the first one likely to get fired on Bet Online or whatever? That's where we'd be.
Yeah. I mean, I take the most recent sample with slightly more weight, right? The first thing that happened, and then you've got decisions to sustain that, to continue that, et cetera. And then you look at those decisions independently, the vast majority bad and wrong. Some very good. Laremy Tunsil, for example. I think Deebo Samuel's a net win for a fifth rounder, a guy that's been good at times, less productive at times, but even still, that's good. I'll go fifth rounder for that every time. But there's also a lot of bad. You guys already know who they are. So the most recent sample is going to drag him under 500 here. He's 16-15 overall as the head coach in Washington. Now, if these years are reversed, you'd go, oh my God, this guy's a genius. He established the winning ways. They played hard down the stretch for him in year one, despite being under-talented. And they're on the way to the NFC title game this year. They're building something special. It's now, what did we really just see the first year? How much was it just BS and luck? Because this is a disaster. You're 100% right. This offseason and then beginning of next year, watching like a hawk.
I mentioned Tunsil's out. We'll get more into this in detail. But when they ruled him out, Dan Quinn did say they expect that he could be back next week, that they don't think this will linger. And rather than just saying they may shut him down, he kind of went the opposite way with it and said, hopefully we'll see him next week. To that, I would say, why? Again, you only got three games left. So after this one, there's only two left. You shut your quarterback down. You've got a tackle who gets hurt a bunch, who is playing through an injury, and there's only two games after this one. I'm ready to just get a look at Brandon Coleman here once and for all. He even said in the press conference it's been a little bit tough for Coleman because one of the few positions where they've had any kind of durability all year has been tackle and guard, where there's four guys that have played and he hasn't been able to crack the code because there hasn't been an opening. Well, now there is. You can kind of just crowbar him into this thing like Harry and Marv getting into the house on Home Alone and get him two games worth of action coming up. But it sounds like they're hopeful Tunsil could come back next week.
Yeah, I think you can make that decision at that point. I'm hoping they lean towards what you just said, though, where you go, okay, I'm glad he can come back. That's good. It means he's healthy. Have a seat. Or let's rotate. Let's have you play a series and then get Brandon Coleman in, and or let's do something to that effect. Again, this is when you recognize what these games are, and I know that that's not how football players think, and that's not how football coaches think. It's how do we gain that extra yard, that play this week, and it's all about the toughness and the brotherhood, hit the bell. We got to do it all together. We have to be in it together, blah, 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 blah. If you can recognize how empty calories these games are, so all you're doing is basically putting lipstick on a pig, let's put the lipstick away. Let's save it for a brighter day when we actually have a hot date. Let's sit Laremy Tunsil, please.
We can open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. We're going to go through some of the things we do care about the rest of the way. Reasons to watch, so to speak. But I am actually interested in finding out why you guys will keep watching. Yesterday, early in the show, we asked, if you have tickets, are you still going to games? A lot of people said no. If you're a fan of this team, are you still going to lock in and watch every single snap? Many people said no. In fact, it was one of our polls of the day this week. But for the people that will be going out to Northwest Stadium or that will continue to watch, the diehards, the marks that are so important and so necessary to keeping this thing afloat as one of the powerful teams in town and one of the more important teams in the NFL, what is your primary reason to keep watching at this point? 800-636-1067. I jotted a bunch down, so I'll run through them here, and then you see if you can add anything to this list. First thing for me, I think you'll care less about, but this is always just an interesting tell to me. Does your team check out on you when the season is lost, or do they sprint through the finish line? I think it is a really significant data point about culture and coaching. So as an example, we just watched the Miami Dolphins play a terrible game against the Pittsburgh Steelers and lose on Monday Night Football. But the fact is, if you watch that game, or if you've watched them recently, the Dolphins came in on, I believe it was a three-game winning streak, and actually played pretty well at a lot of positions. They were physical in a cold weather game in the snow in Pittsburgh. They were violent defensively, running around, pretty inspired football, I thought. They didn't get enough production out of the quarterback position. Their offense stunk, and eventually they lost fairly handily. But that game as a data point to me would have been positive, not negative, about the health of the program under Mike McDaniel. And I think the last month has been that way. Whereas when I'm in Minnesota sitting next to you and Darius watching with Kondori and Murad as the Commanders get blanked 31-0 by the Vikings, I'm worrying big picture about everything. And then you watch the next week and the Giants are bad and did everything they could to not win, but at least the effort was there. There's a binary you can say, is this team invested and playing football in a way that shows that they care about making their coach look good or not? And there have been plenty of days this year where the answer's been no. But I thought the Giants game, the answer was yes, and I will watch that. You've got three games left. One of them, you might actually get the Eagles backups because they're going to have wrapped up the East and they're probably not competing for much more than that. Some seeding, right? But they're not getting a bye. So how hard are Dan Quinn's players actually playing? That is the first thing I always take note of at the end of these seasons.
I think that's fair. To do as a metric. It's not something I dismiss entirely. It's not, but you're right. It's not something that I'm totally gung-ho about as like the most critical data point, but it is one that's noteworthy, right? Because especially I think it's harder when you go, okay, there's no Tunsil, no Jaden Daniels. Now you guys play hard. I do think that's a tougher ask for any coach. It's more uphill there, but I do think it's a fair measure of things, right? As to say, do you still have that room?
I think we confuse players liking coaches for something that matters. How much you like a coach is irrelevant to me. How do you play for that coach is what matters. You understand what I'm saying? And so I know everybody loves Dan Quinn, just like they really liked Ron Rivera. But it got to a point where they didn't play for Ron Rivera in a way that mattered, in a way where it said they cared. For the most part, this group under Dan Quinn, they have gone out there and they show he's got the pulse of the room. You can kind of see it, I think, in Hard Knocks, although they've got a great cologne they spray on everything. It always feels like when you watch Hard Knocks that the team's about to go 15-2, and the Commanders in their meeting rooms have been no different. Every Dan Quinn speech set to music makes you feel like they're about to get right. There's no way they could possibly lose this game. And then they go out, and they did have a 22-7 lead on the Giants, but it got close. But how they play, how they finish, just health of the program stuff, that matters to me. Number two thing I'm going to care about the rest of the way. We have beat this drum about as much as you can beat a drum. I am the little drummer boy on this. Come, they told. Ba-rum-pum-pum-pum. Ben Sinnott. At tight end. Does he get chances? Does he take advantage of them? Those aren't necessarily the same thing.
Ah, yes.
He got a chance, and he did a lot with it.
It was nice.
Against the Giants on a 36-yard catch and run. Are there going to be more of those? Are we going to design something for him? Maybe a tight end screen? This episode we just did of Take Command, which dropped today, we talked a lot about Ben Sinnott. Logan made a great point watching the tape. He thought there was a play they designed, almost like a tight end leak or maybe like a wheel route for him on one of those fake screens where he was the primary and then Mariota had some pressure and couldn't get to it. So he's like, I'm not sure if I buy when you say they didn't call anything for him. That was a play that was probably called for him. So if that's true, okay, congratulations, Cliff. There was a play where you tried to go to Ben Sinnott. Give me 2, 3, 4, 5 of those.
Yeah, why not?
And ideally, they don't only complete 10 and only throw 19 times in this game. But that's on my short list. I will put Johnny Newton. This is the exact same lane of the grocery store, but this is another second-year player drafted really high, 36th overall, at defensive tackle. I would like him to play more than 35% of the snaps. I would like him to be a heavier part of the rotation. If that means known commodity, excellent player Daron Payne sits a little more often, so be it. If that means Javon Kinlaw doesn't get as much run, Danny, cool.
So, yeah. So
it's Johnny fun. Newton time. Mm-hmm. It's December football, and the games are irrelevant. Let's play 95. And I want to see him do better against the run. I want to see him make an impact in the passing game. That's not a big ask.
Not even a little bit. Again, it's not as if you're saying, hey, this undrafted free agent that came into camp and turned some heads. It's not a Ja'Cory Brooks situation. This is last year's second rounder that we were told was first round value but slipped for whatever reason, .. We were promised an awful lot here. It's not time to bury him behind a couple of guys that you maybe like a little bit better. This is time to see, is this okay to start moving on from Daron Payne? Could you dangle him in the offseason to recoup some draft capital? Or do you want to have a three-headed monster? What is he? it doesn't bode well in terms of confidence in the young man that they have consistently played the Eddie Goldmans of the world, the Sheldon Days of the world as much or more kind of throughout, whether it was a scheme fit or a design thing. It's kind of like one of those, you maybe should have known that before you bought,
yeah,
but here we are.
They might have a different way of viewing it. I would say a flawed way of viewing it. If they are just trying to play their veteran because he's a little bit better right now in week 15. But even if that's the case, even if they view the world differently than we do, which we know is true.
Yeah.
If he was that dude.
Obstacle that was potentially in his way, some of it unfortunate, Zach Ertz's injury, etc. But everything is now out of the way. It's Ben Sinnott time. Please give a handful of targets to the second round tight end from last year. Please. And if he can't handle them, right, for whatever reason, I don't know what that is, but if he can't handle them, then I'll go, okay, fine, it's not worth the experiment anymore, I don't care. Now tight end is a priority in the offseason. But if he can, then God, what a find. It just took a while to get there. It was a meandering path to him being successful. So he's the only player that I'm curious about in terms of those four.
There is the big offseason question looming, too, of how big of a need is tight end, right? Like, I think no matter what, you probably have to go get an athlete who can push the ball down the field vertically at the position to replace Zach Ertz, because I've kind of seen what I need to see to feel like Ben Sinnott is not that kind of player. And I don't mean he can't be super productive, but when they comped him to like a Kyle Juszczyk or whatever, I think the point is fullback, H-back, that Cooley-ish type guy who catches the ball horizontally and then breaks some tackles. I think that is the game. I don't view him as what Ertz was. And Ertz was a rarity. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But that's more of that Kelce, speed threat. Now, he doesn't have that anymore, but it's the route running
technician
pushing the ball down the
field.
And that's not going to be Ben Sinnott. I think Sinnott could, in the 12 personnel with two tight ends, have a lot of success as like a guy that is still used, but they probably need an Ertz replacement, because the way I would view it is, you go to a grocery store and you want cereal, you go to the same aisle, but they're two very different types of cereal. You could get Fruit Loops or you could get Cocoa Puffs, right? Like, Zach Ertz is Fruit Loops and Ben Sinnott is Cocoa Puffs. I think they need to buy another type of Fruit Loops, maybe a different brand, for next season. They need that type of tight end. But I'm with you. I'm intrigued by Sinnott. I want to see him throwing the football. They did target him, it looks like, maybe on a design little wheel on the sideline that Logan broke down for us on Take Command that didn't come to fruition. Call that again. Call two or three more plays. And by the way, let's make them line of scrimmage throws that don't need to long develop, that don't get harassed by pressure, where the ball's just going to be in his hand. The guy I'm going to give you is that I want to watch is Bill. Last week looked like what I thought this season was going to look like. My fear is, and I like Chris Rodriguez, so don't mishear me here. My fear is he comes back, carries the ball the most, and now Bill falls back down to getting like 4 to 8 carries or something. I don't know how much he can do with 4 to 8 carries, but I do think he has the ceiling, the upside, the ability to rip off the big run, to hit the home run. We've had him now in 4 straight games. We've seen Bill have at least a 10-yard carry. Against Miami, Denver, Minnesota, and the Giants, he has had a 10-plus yard run. He's getting back to what he was doing early in the season kind of quietly. He just hasn't had the ball a lot. I'm hoping for another 14, 15 attempts from him. And it's no disrespect against Chris Rodriguez, who I think has actually been super effective. He's a nice change of pace like thumper. I think that's his role. I just want major in Bill, minor in Rodriguez. He's a third-year player. Going into year 4 next year, he's going to be 26 years old. Bill's a rookie. 3 weeks left, man. I'm not saying Chris Rodriguez is old, but let's play Bill. Let's get him the looks.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.